Welcome back to another episode of B-Hall Radio. I'm your host, Brian Rowan, with Logan Everett. We're on episode 94 with Coach Ward. Welcome to the show. It's December 20th at 8:03 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. How's it going, Coach?
What's up, fellas? It's good to be back. It feels like it's been more than a week or two since we chatted last. So hope you guys and all a couple dozen people that are going to eventually listen to this, that everyone's having a great holiday season. Christmas is coming up. It's an exciting time of year. We're in the thick of it in wrestling season, and the holiday season's here. So it's a fun time.
Yeah, when I think of like mid-December at West Point, I don't think of like the most fondest of memories.
Well, I can't imagine why not. You didn't love the finals?
Finals week, it's like Christmas dinner and you're like, you know, I feel like we had to make weight like the next week or something, or every time it's like
I went to zero Christmas dinners. Never went to one. We were always gone. I think we used to be in Vegas every year for Christmas dinner, so I never went to one.
The mandatory like holiday dinners, Thanksgiving and Christmas, like right in the middle of wrestling season, brutal. Yeah, that's tough. We're gonna make you get dressed up and go to dinner here, and you're gonna enjoy it, damn it.
Yeah.
I'd say if you're like
if you're not cutting weight,
you know, you go and you like smoke cigars with your friends. Like, I think
that's what I'm saying. I think, like, I don't know. I don't hear much complaining. All I see is all our guys all over Instagram with, you know, their shirts on underneath their is that full dress? What are they wearing? Underneath their full dress. They're all out there smoking cigars together after dinner. So looks like a good time. I haven't been invited to it yet. So they're probably having a lot of fun if they don't want coaches to show up.
Yeah, they pull the spirit dinner invite. Like, not tonight.
Yeah. No, man, but things have been going good. Like I said, middle of December. Guys, we just wrapped up finals today. So today was the last round. It's different than when you guys were here. It's a different final schedule this year. I kind of jump right into it. So the Army Navy football game, big shout out.
To
the Army football brotherhood. What a freaking performance.
It made it a little bit of a sweat there.
I'll get into that in a second. My experience with it. All right. So that game's on Saturday. Like, it was always up until this year, you would come back, maybe like Monday was a reading day, and then finals started on Tuesday, went Tuesday to Saturday. Well, this year you had pretty much reading days Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They had some classes, but finals didn't start until Thursday. So finals went Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday. So about half the team had a final today to finish up. But we're still here training. We compete this Friday. So we're still here. So
what's the tournament Friday?
Well, we have two competitions on Friday. So we're sending
Wilkes.
We're sending about 20 wrestlers to Wilkes, and then we're going to put, I think, six or seven into the Sheridan invite at Lehigh, which, I can tell you why, but it's an invite. It's Division I only. It's a tough tournament. It's like the brackets are going to be between 8 and 12 people, but it's just Division I. And the reason we divided people up is like, let's be very intentional about who we want to send to Sheridan to get these matches. It wasn't originally on our schedule, but they let us put some guys in the mix there. So I can dig into that. But hey, look, for the football game, like I said, it's a really, really big deal. We were at Cleveland State, so we were wrestling at Cleveland State the day of the football game, and we're all kind of keeping up with the score, you know, and it looks like, okay, it's going all right. I have to get to the airport because I'm flying back that night because I had something on Sunday morning I had to be at. All right, so the rest of the team staying and driving the bus back from Cleveland to West Point the next morning, but I left a little bit early and got on the plane. So when I walk into the airport and I walk into the lounge and I sit down, like the first play I see is the strip fumble recovery and score. Yeah. And it's like me and three other people there. I'm sitting up there and there's somebody else that's been sitting at the bar here for sounded like a few hours, you know, but I just sat down. Like I was just sitting down waiting. My flight left in like 40 minutes. But I sit down and I see a score and I'm like, let's go. And I'm celebrating. There's nobody else in there except this guy that's been hanging out there at the bar too long. And I'm like, we got this in the bag, you know? And then I'm watching it and I'm, holy cow, what's going on? What are we doing? And this guy over here next to me, you know, is like, you're going to lose this game, you know? And I'm like, shut up. But that was my experience with the game. As I sit down, oh, we got this. It's in the bag. And then it became a little bit too interesting.
Did you catch the end before your flight left?
Yeah.
Because that's the worst when you're like, I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was able to catch it. So freaking exciting, man. That was awesome for them. What a like turnaround for the season, you know, with how they started the momentum they were able to finish with. So it's good to see a team be able to remember who they are, you know, even after a tough start, and remember who they are and find their identity and put together a really strong second half to the season, inspiring for us all.
Now, I think wasn't that for bowl eligibility too, but I hadn't seen, because I hadn't seen any bowl announcements.
No, and don't get me lying to you about it because I don't understand it all, but I do know like you can only count one subdivision.
Oh, because we had I think we had an FCS opponent.
Maybe we had two.
Did we?
And you can only count one. And the bowls are filled up before the game, and we weren't 6-6 until after. So it was just the timing. And I mean, the season wasn't good enough to get locked into a bowl early, and that's just the reality of it. And but
you know what we did get?
Well, yeah.
CIC.
Send it back.
I would take the season over like one of our 10-2 seasons, like any day. This is like one of the best seasons we've ever had.
You love it. Like as an old grad, you love that.
Oh yeah.
Why?
Well, because 5 years ago or whatever, like when we went like 10-2 and we're like really like playing good football, you had these like high expectations of the team of like being a top 25 team, like beating some of these other teams like that were like really good. Then you get like your hopes shattered a little bit, you know, having the bad first half of the season and like going back to like the Army roots of like the only games that matter are beating Air Force and Navy and legitimately nothing else matters. It just really like brought it back home to like my time at West Point. And we didn't even come close to beat, you know, but that was like our hopes. It's like, hey, we know we're going to have a bad season overall. Let's just look at.
I think there's some perspective from, you know, guys your age, Brian, of going through all those games and never winning.
Fun fact.
And now you see it and you're like, yeah, I would take this every year.
Yeah.
We never, not only did we never beat Navy, we never went to school with anybody that beat Navy.
What?
So when we were, you know, plebes, none of the firsties ever beat Navy.
Yeah.
Like nobody.
That's why I say Munkin for president. That was, you know, Kaslin, Munkin and Boo. And now what? Everyone else has been able to keep that going, but they started it, and now we're rocking.
Yeah, shout out Boo, head of the College Football Playoff Committee Selection Board, which I had no idea until I saw him on a commercial. I was like, is that Boo?
Definitely. I was like, I had to look it up. Aware of that this year. Yeah. I don't know who would want that job, but.
Catching a little heat.
I don't know if you guys get this, but one of the things I really like about the Army-Navy football game is, like, the non-Army friends that come out of the woodwork and text you, like, I'm rooting for the Army, buddy. Let's go. You guys get that?
For sure. I mean, I get a lot of wrestling people texting me. Yeah, they like, you know, they're just, I know them through wrestling and they're just texting me, you know, go Army. It's cool.
Yeah. So it has been a little while since, you know, we've done an update, like going over, you know, matches. You know, you guys had the duels, the journeyman duels, you know, and then we had a Black Knight invite, Cougar Clash, Cleveland State, you know,
man,
I don't think we need to do recaps of every one of those, but I think, you know, if you could kind of go, you know, weight by weight of like, you know, kind of where they were at, where they're at, where they're going and kind of where they're at now and then where they're going, where you're seeing like weight class by weight class. I think the fans would appreciate, you know, that.
Well, I'm going to buck the trend of starting at the lightest weight and I'm going to start from the heavyweight and then move down. How's that?
You're stealing that.
Somebody else did this.
Insider.
Yeah, because you know why? Because I'm sitting there, we're sitting there at the Cleveland State Open, and our heavyweights, you know, they're running the tournament on four mats, maybe six mats. No, it was like four mats. It was small. And there was a lot of people in the tournament. Maybe it was six mats. I'm looking there and I'm like, our heavyweights, we weighed in at 9. I don't think a heavyweight's wrestle until like 1 o'clock. Maybe weigh-ins were earlier than that, but I'm like, why do the people who cut no weight get 4 hours of rest? Like, and they're still over there eating the weigh-in food after weigh-ins. I'm like, gosh, you could have eaten literally at any time, like 24 hours a day, and you're over there eating the Cheez-Its like you're starving. And I was like, why do we keep doing this? So then I think Scott took that and ran with it. So, okay, heavyweight. We have two guys that are both doing a good job. They both have to keep progressing, and they're both going to get chances to do it. Cole Hoffer and Stoddard. Cole Hoffer has battled some injuries this year. It's kind of been he's been a little bit injury prone, but getting his lifestyle is getting better where he can train and compete better. Meaning that his lifestyle, I'm talking about everything off the mat to like lend itself to staying healthy longer. He's a big, strong guy, man. And that's a lot of stress on a body. He's got so much power. But he's doing well. He's going to wrestle at Lehigh this weekend. It'll be a good bracket. He'll have the guy from Lehigh there. He'll have the guy from Binghamton. So a couple nationally ranked guys in our conference. And Stoddard's been doing a really good job too. Stoddard has a couple wins over nationally ranked guys. Had the Cleveland State Open, won, had it in the bag, and looked at the clock with about 20 seconds left in the match and got taken down. Like, was never close to being in trouble, and then just caught the match up late. But he's been progressing. He's been learning really well. Like, he asks good questions, and when you're teaching, he soaks it in and he tries to apply it. So really pleased with both of those guys. They both have to get better, and they're both going to be given chances. Like I said, Cole Hoffer at Lehigh this week, and Stoddard's going to the scuffle, and we'll see how that shakes out. There's a chance Cole Hopper also goes to the scuffle, but we'll see how this weekend goes first before we decide that. 97, I'll lump 97 and 84 together because those are two weights that we got to pick it up. Where I feel like we've got 7 or 8 pretty good wrestlers on our team in our starting lineup right now, like really competitive. But 97 and 84, we're just not there yet. We got to keep progressing. And so Wolfgang's going to wrestle 97 at the Sheridan tournament at Lehigh on Friday. We'll see how that goes. I think he's had some matches this year, and he does a really good job. He's just got to learn, man. He's got to get better. That's all there is to it. So we got to keep coaching him up and giving him opportunities. But that weight's wide open. You know, somebody really claims it, it's going to be theirs. And the same with 84, because, you know, who we had at 184 beginning of the year, Ben Pazook, has dropped to 174. So now 184 is kind of one of those where, okay, somebody claim it, you know, and we got a few guys there. Danny Lawrence is dropping from 97 to 84. So Danny's going to wrestle 184 at Lehigh this week. It'll be his first time down to weight at 184. And then we got to progress at those two weights. Pazook dropping to 74. He's going to wrestle this Friday at Lehigh.
So we'll get him and the Lehigh kid for round like 17.
No, because that Lehigh kid's now down at 165. Everybody's moving weight classes. But Ben at 74. So Filippo has made the decision to go down to 65. So Gunner's going to wrestle 165 this weekend. And at 165, I mean, we have, you know, now Gunner, Harkins, and Dakota Morris and Andrew Christie. We have four good wrestlers there. So Harkins Harkins was maybe contemplating changing weight classes because he's on the smaller end for a 65-pounder, but he decided, no, I'm staying at 165. I'm not giving this spot up. And then you see him go out and he wins the Cleveland State Open, you know, knowing that somebody's coming down to challenge him for his weight class, he goes out and wins the tournament. And that's exactly the type of response that you want. Is like, that's what you expect a junior in your program to do. Say, oh, this guy's, somebody's coming down to challenge me. Well, let me go win a tournament. Let me put some points on the board and go win. And that's what he needed to do. It's what he did. Gunner's going to wrestle Gunnar and Dakota are both going to wrestle on Friday at Lehigh. And then Gunnar's also going to wrestle in the scuffle. So Gunnar and Ben Pazuk both are going to wrestle in the scuffle at 65 and 74. 57, man. Loved watching Nate wrestle at Cleveland State. I think so far this season, he's been a guy that looks like he's wrestling with some expectations and wasn't really sure how to handle it. Like, just looked a little bit slower, a little bit, maybe half a step behind, where you're like, man, like, what's this weight on this guy's shoulders that's kind of slowing him down? I think it's just the weight of expectation of, okay, I'm a senior. I really want to enjoy this season. I was at the national tournament last year. I have all this other stuff in my life going on right now, where Nate is working on his commissioning and cross-commissioning into the Marine Corps and going through this process. And he's got a lot going on. And he's looked like somebody that has a lot going on in their life until Cleveland State. Like, he looked really good. And he got better as the day went on. So pumped for him to have a good day and a good performance, because it's not easy. Like, you guys remember what it's like wrestling as a senior. Like, I mean, in my personal experience, I look back and think, man, I was a lot better as a junior than I was a senior. And I didn't know it at the time, but in hindsight, I was like, yeah, I was actually quite a bit better as a junior. And because sometimes it's hard as a senior with knowing it's your last year, and it's something else that you feel that you have to learn how to get through, and coaches got to help you get through. But happy to see Nate there at 57. 49, we've got, we have two guys at 49, Matt Williams and Thomas Deck. For those that have been following the program, Trey McDaniel got hurt against Lock Haven in our dual meet there, had the injury default, and unfortunately he's done for the year. So ended up being a little bit worse than we thought. So Trey's out. And but here's the good news there is you have Matt and Thomas, both seniors that have stayed engaged in the program, never checked out. I mean, you guys have seen it. You've seen seniors just kind of hang around, you know, and if they get called into the lineup, they're like, oh shit, you know, and then as coaches, you're like, oh, shit, you know, come on guys. Like, but not these guys. Like, they've really stayed dialed in. And so they're both going to get opportunities, whether that's at scuffle. Thomas, I think, is going to wrestle the scuffle, and Matt's going to wrestle at F&M after the holiday break. But they have, you know, plenty of opportunities, and they're both really capable. But it'll be one of those two. 41, I'm going back. Sanchez is back in the mix now. So Sanchez, his first competition back from an injury last spring. You know, he had surgery last spring. His first competition back was at Cleveland State. Won a few matches, looked okay. Not bad for the first time wrestling in a long time, and then just needs to progress. 41 is going to be a pretty tough weight at Lehigh, so that's going to be a fun one to watch. So we have Sanchez, Shane Persley, Richie Trainer. Probably those three are kind of, you know, kind of duking it out for the spot. 33, Braden Basil has, you know, continued to have a really strong freshman year. But it's like what you kind of see from freshmen. It's ups and downs. He's beat some nationally ranked guys, and he's got beaten by some guys that you're like, okay, you know, that shouldn't happen. One thing you can always count on with him is he's going to compete like crazy. And sometimes he competes a little bit too much, you know, or like he just over wrestles positions because he just will not stop. So he's fun for fans to watch, and he can drive you crazy as a coach because they're like, you love it, you know, but also like you're stressed out. You're like, what's going to happen? But I know what's going to happen. One thing with him on the mat is like, he is not going to stop competing no matter what. You know, he's a guy, here's a story I loved with him earlier in this year. We were talking about weight classes. Do you want to go 41? Do you want to go 33? I was like, you're kind of big at 33. He was like, I can handle it. He goes, it doesn't matter like how easy my weight cut is. He's like, I'm going to compete my ass off no matter what. He's like, I'm not one of those guys that's going to say, oh, I had a bad weight cut and then not compete hard. He's like, it doesn't matter. It's not going to change the way I wrestle. And I was like, okay, you pick your weight and then, you know, go do it. So that's just kind of, you know, the character he has out there on the mat. And you love that. And then at 125, you know, Ethan Bergen, which I think, so with Ethan, his results at this point in the year don't look as good as his results did a year ago, but he's a better wrestler than he was a year ago. He just had, you know, he got beat by a couple guys ranked in the top five in the country. And then he lost two really close matches on riding time, which I thought it was a really poorly reffed match at Cleveland State where he lost. He ended up losing on a couple seconds of riding time where the ref went like this, but didn't call him for stalling, but then instead Ethan won. And then about a minute later after the match said, no, the other guy does get a point. It was like this whole, it wasn't pretty. Yeah, it was a bad deal. It was bad. And I didn't handle it well. And I made an idiot out of myself. And,
well, there was no streaming, so we couldn't see that one.
You know, we'll talk about that in a minute too. But anyways, like Ethan's better wrestler than he was a year ago. And it's just, you know, like just a little bit more aggressive, score a few more points, like make things happen a little bit more. You got to force the issue. He's been training really hard. His next competition will be at the Scuffle. So Scuffle, Bergen, Basil, Sanchez, Deck, Lucas, Filipowicz, Pazuk, and Stoddard, I think is the crew that we're taking the Scuffle. Everybody else will be wrestling at the F&M Open on January 5th. So where do I think we are as a team right now? Like I said, I think we have, you know, probably on any given day, like 8 really good wrestlers taking the lineup for us right now. And another couple of weights that can be really good. We just got to improve and get better. You know, at 84 and 97, we got to make progress. And that's part of it. Like, we don't shy away from that. I'm not embarrassed to say we got to make progress. I mean, that's our job to do it. So, and not that everybody else doesn't, you know, but I think that I knew starting this season that we could have a pretty good team February and March. And I think we're still on track for that. And then really the month of January might be the most important month for us. You know, like what kind of progress can we make through that month will determine, you know, what kind of March we have. So I like where we're at. I wish our results were a little bit better, but we'll probably always say that. I mean, I still like our team. I like coaching them. I love our coaching staff. Haven't talked enough about our staff. Freaking love them. Making a really big impact on these guys and working hard. They're fun to work with. So I like where we're at. And the bottom line is we need to compete well. When you compete well, life is good, no matter what, you know. And if you don't, then you lose matches, then life isn't so much fun. So that's where we're at. We need to prepare well and compete well and win matches.
It sounds like we have some pretty good depth. I mean, even, I don't think you mentioned him, but Farmer, I mean, had a couple good results at 25 also, I think, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, you are. He's looked really good, and I'm glad you brought that up. He's wrestling in Scuffle as well.
Okay.
And so that's the one, you know, I don't want to call them backups, you know, because they're not a backup. There's somebody else that has a chance to be in the lineup. But that's the only weight where we're taking two, I think, because I was like, man, Chuck Farmer has earned this shot to go down there.
If you're earning it, then it's hard to deny.
Yeah. And we do. You're right. We have good depth. And now we need to see some separation, you know, like numbers one and two don't need to be neck and neck all the time. It's okay for number one to pull away and go be an All-American type guy and not a qualifier type guy.
I said we're probably, like, numbers wise, if you looked at competitions that we've completed, we're probably close to halfway.
Oh, for sure.
We've been busy.
we have 7 dual meets next semester. We have 1 tournament and 7 dual meets. That's it.
Yeah.
And some of our guys, pretty much everybody's between 15 and 20 matches right now. In second semester, you have 1 tournament and 7 dual meets. So you've wrestled half your matches already.
Yeah, that's the grind of the dual meet where you're every weekend. But it is good for a rhythm there, too, because you kind of get into, okay, what I do wrong? How do I prep for the next guy?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of rhythm, too, which I think helps a lot of people grow through some of their weaknesses in the second half of the season and get pretty sharp. But I mean, I think it's, you know, it's never a bad problem to have depth. It's just like you're talking about is, you know, somebody's got to be the guy.
Somebody step up. Yeah, be the guy for sure.
I did want to, I don't know if you know Branches off the top of your head, but congrats to all the firsties with Branches. It's a it's a big moment for you in your career. You probably don't understand all of it yet, but it is, and it has a pretty big impact on not only your Army career but the rest of your life. So I don't know if you happen to know off the top of your head. I know you hit on Luquez cross commissioning into the Marine Corps, which is pretty cool. I think he's the first person I've seen cross commission in the Marine Corps. I've seen into the Navy and into the Air Force before, but I've never seen anybody go to the Marine Corps.
Yeah, and you know, and if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure Nate's dad was a Marine aviator.
Okay.
And that's what Nate wants to do too. So super cool for him to I'm not sure where he's at in the process, but things are looking good for him to be able to do it. So I'm right now I'm scrolling through, but we have so many pictures in our on our Twitter of going through for all of these branches. So let me see if I can find what, when, oh, here we go. Nope, that's the Black Knight invite. Here's, here's the,
I think was it after that?
Was it after?
So.
There wasn't as much infantry this year. I do know that. Okay, here we go.
You may run through these? Some smart folks, yeah.
Okay, we have Sanchez, Logan Brown. Logan Brown at 141. I didn't mention Logan Brown. Logan Brown wrestled really well at Cleveland State. And he's going to get opportunities to wrestle there.
Is he in the finals?
Yes.
Or third?
Yeah,
or
he was in the finals. He made the finals. He beat some good kids, too, and looked good doing it. So Logan Brown is absolutely in the mix at 141. See, you guys got to help me out because I'm getting old. Sanchez, Brown, Ben Pazook, Dom Carone, field artillery, and Thomas Deck, field artillery. So FA was like our number one most branched branch this year. Joe Metz, transpo. You know, Joe wasn't able to commission combat arms because of the injury he had. But he's fighting hard to finish his West. I mean, Joe Metz is a fighter, man. Like, a lot of people thought maybe he shouldn't be here right now. He should be at home rehabbing, and he's just here, and he's shows up every day and just a grinder. And he's going to commission, and he's fighting hard for that. But he branched transpo. Montgomery, armor. Matt Williams, infantry. Dylan Sheehy, ADA, air defense. Danny Lawrence, engineers.
There we go. Logan.
Yep. And Tyler Morris and Tanner Craig, both infantry.
Well, Danny must be pretty smart then, huh?
Yeah, he's a pretty smart guy. Yeah. Yeah, you're a pretty smart guy. Not quite as smart as those infantry guys, but
it's funny that, I mean, pumped to hear some variety, which is always cool. I mean, for a while we were like, you know, 98% infantry.
Yeah. No, this is the first time else. I've seen it where I'm like, we just got a couple infantry. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny.
But yeah. Exciting times for them, and bright futures ahead for all those guys. But B-Row, we kind of cut you off earlier. Do you have a question for me? I feel bad for cutting you off.
Well, it wasn't anything super important. I was just thinking for Lehigh this Friday, I totally did not know that was coming up. Are there other teams that are like, what other teams are going? Like, should they expect? Is it like a –
Lehigh? Okay, I think F&M's there. So Lehigh, F&M, Indiana, Brown, Central Michigan, Cornell has a few in there as well, and us. So Friday, I think it starts at 10 a.m. It's on Flow, shared an invite. And yeah, this was a last minute ad. So to get into the weeds NCAA rules, if it's on the same, like you can compete in two different locations on the same day and it just counts as one date. Mm-hmm. So we were like, well, there's this other thing. So the thing with Wilkes is it's good to have a tournament, but you're not ever sure if it's going to be Division I match every round.
Right.
Sometimes it is. Somebody's going to go there and get four or five Division I matches. Somebody's going to go there and wrestle five matches and get one Division I match. You know, it's a crapshoot that at this tournament, Lehigh, we're guaranteed Division I matches. And if you look at like Sanchez, he needs Division I matches. You have to have 15 matches to get RPI.
Now, what percentage of those have to be at your weight class? Is it anything like, 100%. Is that why you see somebody like Pasuk go to both? Because he's like, I need
100%.
Division I matches at this weight class.
Have to be at your weight class. So in that, so you have Sanchez, Filipowicz, and Pazook, and Lawrence. That's four people that haven't wrestled more than, you know, I guess Sanchez had a couple matches. The others have zero at that weight class. And you have to get to 15 to have an RPI. So we got to hustle. You know, they're going to have to get a few more competitions in too. We're going to have to get creative. But, you know, the goal is hopefully we'll see. Maybe you don't need to get to 15. Maybe they're high enough in the coaches poll and their winning percentage is strong. They don't need an RPI to qualify a spot. But we're going to try to get to 15. That's the plan right now.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to mention what? That Colonel Cook had commented a picture on my wife's Instagram on a picture of the baby, and it said something about a tanker, like what a nice little tanker or something. And she texted me and she's like, what is this? I was like, this is normal. Like this is the highest compliment that you can
get is
to be a tanker from Colonel Cook.
How is baby, by the way?
Good. Really good. It's an experience for sure. There's zero free time. You know what I mean? I think we're still trying to figure out our routines. We're not getting a lot of sleep. My mom texted me the other day because I'd sent her a picture of me and the baby, and she was like, she was like, oh, that's cute, you know. And then a couple hours later, like, had looked at him, and she's like, your eyes are like all red. Like, are you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. There's just no sleep going on.
I'm fine.
Here.
We just
like,
have a newborn.
Yeah. So, it's amazing. It's difficult, but it's awesome too. So it's.
Well, congrats! It's great. Yeah. It's the best thing in the world. But like I said, I got to speak quietly because if I start talking about how hard it is to have a newborn and my wife hears me, she's going to flip.
Yeah. You're like, oh, you didn't do anything. Yeah.
Trust me. I know. That's what I'm going to get. So
it's like, oh, you're tired.
Don't worry. She doesn't listen to the show. So we don't have to worry about.
I know.
We don't have to worry about any of that. Well, cool. Yeah. Happy for you guys. B-Row, what's up?
We do have some questions. I know, B-Row. I don't know if you want to get into it or not.
We also had an exciting weekend for the West Point Wrestling Club.
Freaking awesome, huh? Okay, so I'll run through these three things. Watching Jack Lucy get back out there and compete again, awesome. I mean, it takes a lot of courage to get back out there into the arena, put a singlet on with a scoreboard and a ref and say like, all right, I'm gonna do this. You know, it's not an easy step to make. So proud of Jack for doing that. Really proud of OG for going through Bullock and everything he's doing right now and getting down to a weight class and stepping out there to compete. And, you know, like he's capable of more than he showed, but he's had a tough training environment, you know, where it's not anywhere close to optimal and cutting a lot of weight. And he's just got to get some more solid training under his belt. And then he can really compete to make those teams. But then of course, you know, West Point Wrestling Club's own resident athlete, Velray Baker, going in there as the 7 seed. And beating the 3, 2, and 1 seeds to win the tournament and qualify for the Olympic trials and now be in the driver's seat to make the 2024 team and go represent the United States in Paris is just absolutely incredible. I'm like watching her train and her approach to the sport. It's been a lot of fun to watch because she's someone that just comes across as so sincere and so grateful for the opportunity she's got. Like, she soaks everything in. She does things the right way. Like, she works hard. She listens. She'll listen and then she'll respond. Like, she does everything that you want your athletes to do. And then to see her have some success, not some success, to see her go out there and win the freaking tournament, the outstanding wrestler of, you know, the senior open, incredible. And congratulations to her. And she wanted me to say to all of our supporters of the West Point Wrestling Club how much she appreciates you guys because you help her be able to chase her dreams. So we look forward to watching her and her quest to make the Olympic team. And so there's more to come there. But, yeah, big weekend down there in Texas. That was awesome to watch.
Yeah, that's cool.
So we do have some listener questions. You know, one is, you know, it's pretty new news. Doesn't affect this year, but the announcement of the Ivy League starting their own, you know, conference or, you know, at least, NCAA qualifier for the end of the season. What are your thoughts on that and kind of impacts to, you know, the NCAA qualifying process for the, you know, the other remaining teams in the IWA? Any initial thoughts?
Well, this has been in the works for a while, so it's something that we've known about for the past several months. Honestly, I'm surprised it took this long to happen. It probably should have happened 15 years ago. They have a national brand. They're the Ivy League. The Ivy League sponsors every other sport. Like, why was the Ivy League not sponsoring wrestling and having their own championship? They needed to do it. It makes more sense to have it than it does not to. So, not a surprise at all. I think what it does, not only for the EIWA, so what I think what's going to happen with the EIWA is I don't think we're going to take any more schools. And if we do, we're going to have to be pretty strategic in what schools we take. Like, who do we want to be as a conference? Do we want to just take any school that doesn't have anywhere else to go? That's probably not good for them. It's not good for us. And at the end of the day, if it's not good for a school, then it's not good for wrestling. You know, we don't need to bring in any other schools that really can't win. Like, that's if we bring in a school, they need to be able to compete. That's my opinion. I'm not speaking for anybody else on that. So I don't think we're going to add any other schools. We'll stay the EIWA with the member schools that we have right now. Here's what it does. Any conference like the Ivy starting, they're going to get 10 automatic qualifiers. Like, if you win their tournament, you qualify for the NCAA championships. So that adds 10 AQs across the country that didn't used to exist. So
I mean, at a minimum,
Yeah. Well, the 10 AQs, you know, right. So theoretically, it won't happen. But theoretically, if everybody in the Ivy League sucks and none of them earn a pre-allocated spot to the tournament, 10 of them are still going to go.
Right.
No, that's not going to happen. They're going to take more than that. We know that. But those 10 spots have to come from somewhere. So where are they going to come from? The answer is not the EIWA, maybe one of, I mean, just depends on the year, but they're going to come from somewhere. And so they'll come from other conferences around the country. Like, it'll make it a little bit tougher to qualify because those 10 spots have to come from somewhere, right? That's the impact. Other than that, I think it's an opportunity for the EIWA to finally like take control of itself. It's been pretty disappointing, to be honest with you, my 10 years in the EIWA, just seeing like how much missed potential there is in our conference. Like, it should be a really strong brand. It's kind of a strong brand, but it should be really strong.
How is it missed?
If you go ask a casual fan who's in the EIWA, they have no idea. They can name like two or three schools. But we
should. Is there any other sport that has like this? I mean, it's, I don't want to say it's not a real conference in a way, but it's not your Big 12s. It's not your Pac-12s, Big 10s.
No, like we're the last remaining like sport only conference.
Okay.
And we really have no governance. You know, we're an association. Like, there's no governance. There's no commissioner in the EIWA that can tell people what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. And so there's really, in my 10 years in the EIWA, there's been no leadership, or very little, of like, here's what we need to do to grow our brand. Here's what these teams need to do. It's been pretty much, hey guys, have a good season. We'll see you at the tournament. Here's the dates, you know, like that's been it, is we'll see you there at the tournament. So I think that's the missed opportunity. Like, we have great schools in our conference, really strong wrestling programs, amazing opportunities after graduation at our school and others. Like, these things need to be sold and communicated. And the wrestling world needs to know, you know, that, well, now Ivy League is there, you know, they're going to be considered the smart conference. But up until that, it was us, the EIWA. Like, if you want to go to an elite school and chase elite wrestling, there's really only one option, the EIWA. And then you have a couple from around the country, Stanford, Northwestern probably belong in that conversation. But outside of that, it was the EIWA. But that, you know, that hasn't been really communicated. So I think this is a chance to like, okay, who do we want to be as a conference? Somebody take the bull by the horns and let's make, you know, let's actually do this thing with a little bit of thought behind it, not just see at the tournament. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think ultimately, I think it's good. I really do. I think that smaller conferences are better for the sport. I don't think the mega conference is good. I don't think that schools with very few resources should be in the same conference as schools with million-dollar budgets. It makes no sense to do it. That smaller program will never grow if they can't win. And if you can't compete with budget dollars, you're going to be really hard to compete on the mat. And so I think the more smaller conferences we have around the country, the better it'll be for the sport of wrestling.
Well said. I think a lot of people haven't thought of that perspective necessarily. I've been in several conversations and it's been kind of the first thought is like, we're going to lose all those qualifier positions, you know, for the EIWA, you know, with the Ivy's not there and it's going to reduce that. You know, and that's been kind of the talk.
Well, it cuts it, you know, it cuts it about in half. If you look at the past few years and interestingly for us, our program, we have always qualified more pre-allocated spots than we leave the tournament with because we compete our asses off all year long. We don't dodge. We don't duck people. We wrestle good competition. We pick up some wins. Like, and we will always go into the EIWA tournament with guys ranked 20th to 27th, you know, that get pre-allocated spots, but are also vulnerable at the tournament. Like if you're ranked 27th and you don't have a really good tournament, then you don't get one of those spots. That's kind of been where we've been at over the past couple of years, where over the past 5 years or so, we've had more spots going into the tournament than we've left with. Now we've made those up with wild cards or at large bids at the end. But I can see why people would think that, but all you got to do is look at the numbers. I mean, it's a pretty easy research. It won't take you more than an hour to go look at the last 5 years and see how many the Ivy brought in and then how many the other schools brought in. And it's about half. So 6 teams out of the 17 bring in about half over the past few years. But we have some teams in our conference that haven't brought in any, you know, so like chop those numbers off and that's no longer 17. It's 13 or 14. So now you got 6 out of those 14 teams have been bringing in about half. That's probably more realistic. And that means that, you know, the remaining teams that we have, we got to do better. We got to bring in more, you know, so we got to raise our level a little bit, but it's not going to be like this major drop off in allocations, you know, per school. It's just, they're leaving. They're going to take some with them. That's just how it's going to be.
Have there been discussions internally about, like you mentioned, the leadership of EIWA, you know, between the schools that are remaining about stepping up and establishing, you know, a committee or like.
Yeah. So there are committees and administrators do get together and talk, but it's not like this. I'll give you an example. This was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Coaches had worked for about a year putting together this block scheduling, like where you are mandated to wrestle these teams on this schedule for the next 3 years. Like you're going to hit everybody in the EIWA. We're going to mandate who you're wrestling. And the coaches approved it like 16-2 in the vote. And then it just died. Like it went nowhere because the person who was in charge of our conference was an alumni, not an alumni, but was very involved in one of the schools that voted no. So it just 14-2 and it just died. Anything the coaches wanted to get done? No, it had to be the right coaches wanting to get it done. But now, like our sport administrator, Trisha Turley Brandenburg, who works at West Point, oversees wrestling, like she's really involved in it. She's a wrestling person. She gets it. I think anytime she gets involved in something, she's going to make things better. So I'm hopeful. And I just think that, hey, this is just got to view this as an opportunity. You know, let's just take control of our brand and make it really strong and powerful.
Yeah. Man, Logan he's just leaving.
I'm here.
Yeah, maybe baby's crying in the other room, Brian.
Listen, I'm catching heat right now. So I'm.
Well, speaking of like, you know, you mentioned, you know, you guys don't dodge anybody, you know, you're not, you know, ducking anybody. What are your thoughts on the Cornell, not Cornell, Yeah, Cornell, Iowa State last week or the other day.
Okay, one, my comments weren't directed at them or about that.
But since
you asked, look, as coaches, we have all been there where you're like, dude, I really want to wrestle this guy, but I can't. I've been there where you're like, gosh dang it, like I really need this person to wrestle. I've also been in that position where I'm like, this guy probably shouldn't wrestle, but damn it, we're freaking Army and we're sending this guy out there. Like, it may not be the smartest thing right now, but it is the best thing for our program and the best thing for our culture and the best thing for what we represent. So you're going. Until you're in those shoes, you just can't judge. As a fan, it doesn't look good. I'll just say that. Like as a fan, that's nobody likes that. Everybody's let down. I didn't like it. I mean, I bought the pay-per-view and I was watching. I was like, dude, are you kidding me?
Hey, listen, Mark Marchetti was there.
I wanted to watch. I think it's I don't want to get myself in, you know, like some Twitter beef over this, but I wanted to see the matches, you know. Like it's not, as a sport, it's not a good look. And that's not a knock on anybody. Like when this happens anywhere, it's not a good look. You want to see, you know, like you want to see Ollie Frazier. And when you buy the pay-per-view to watch it and then you don't get it, fans have the right to, like, this is one thing in wrestling. And I'm not saying that anybody involved in those duels feels this way. I'm generalizing. We're so sensitive. Like when people criticize us, we get so sensitive. And I'm like, do you not understand that if you don't allow fans to criticize you, you'll never grow? Like, you want fans thinking that you're an idiot. You want more fans thinking that you're a genius, but you want people thinking that you're an idiot and they can do your job. Because that means people are watching and they're paying attention. And we get so sensitive and defensive as a sport. It seems to me that we do. And I'm like, we got to welcome this criticism, man, because it's part of, like, if you want to be big time, you got to welcome the criticism. Like, it is nothing like basketball and football, baseball, hockey, like what they get. So I think the criticism and eyes on it is a good thing.
I know people are probably dying to hear what I have to say about it, but I am, like, pro athlete, I feel like, generally, and like, I'm going to side 9 times out of 10 on the side of the athlete and be like, hey, if the coach, you know, if that was the decision that, you know, between the athlete and the coach, that's the decision that they made, then who are you to tell them that they shouldn't do that? But I do get it. And I'm not saying, I mean, you could play the, this is for seeds, this is for whatever all the time. You could speculate and not know. You know, I just wonder if eventually, given the rules, like, there's going to be a person that comes out and says, like, yeah, I'm doing this because I could get away with it in the rules, and this is going to benefit, you know, my athletes and my program, and this is why we're going to do it, and just be honest with it. I don't think that that's going to happen, and I'm not necessarily saying that that was the case, in a roundabout way. I think that in some instances it is, and other times it's not, but you know, at a certain point, is somebody just going to be honest with it or say, this is what we're doing? Like, if you want us to stop doing it, then change it. Like,
so that happened a few years ago. Remember when Iowa State ran?
Well, that was the Iowa State. Like, we're going to do the fake matches
and
that we do it.
And Kevin Dresser was like, yeah, like, it's, I can do it. It's within the rules. So me doing this is exposing how stupid the rule is. Like, he didn't dance around it. Okay, so here's a story that I remember from college. We were wrestling at the National Duels when they used to have that. And I think it was, maybe it was against Illinois, like semifinals. I wrestled 157. Johnny Hendricks wrestled 165, one weight class after me. I think it was Illinois, but I don't remember the opponents exactly, but I do remember the situation. Johnny had gotten hurt and maybe didn't wrestle the match before. But we were in a really tight dual meet, and I think I lost my match, and come off the mat, and Johnny wasn't supposed to wrestle. Like, another guy on our team was going to wrestle because Johnny was like legit hurt. And the other guy's walking out onto the mat to wrestle, and Johnny just walks out and stands it, like steps in front of him, walks up to the head table and checks in. And he's like, I'm wrestling. And I was like, that's so badass, you know, that like, he's a competitor, man, wanted to step out there and compete. And you never, like, you wouldn't hear that story, you know, you would only hear stories about people that don't compete. Like, you never hear the stories about the ones that say, no, screw this, I'm going, you know, because, you know, they don't do it for, you know, for retweets, you know, they do it because it's in their fabric and it's who they are. So there's a lot of people that are stepping out there under less than optimal conditions that are laying it on the line, and, you know, they don't get recognition for it, but that happens more often than people sitting on the bench. So wrestlers are still the toughest guys in the world. And, you know, like these high profile matches get a lot of attention, and we should welcome that, but don't forget that we got hundreds of kids laying it on the line every weekend.
Yeah, my Mark had sent me a picture of the gym there at MBA or wherever they were at.
Yeah,
in Tennessee, and I was like, "This is some unbelievable money." I was like, "My school's wooden bleachers, rock, and everything still, and like, this place is unbelievable." I was like, "This is worse than NIL money."
Yeah, that's that Nashville private school, buddy.
Yeah,
that's the home of the Simpsons. You know this, I know, right? So,
oh yeah, and I tell them that.
Yeah,
I mean, good for them. I mean, it's a beautiful building. Like, it's just crazy that, like, these high schools are fit to host events like this, and it looks the part.
It's crazy.
I remember when we wrestled in that high school in Brooklyn, and I was like, that place did not look the part that one time we wrestled.
Yeah, UNC fun though. That was rowdy though, right?
It was fun. Yeah,
we had one of the parents from North Carolina's parents got kicked out of the gym. Remember that?
Yeah,
that was a rowdy crowd, man. They clipped us too. They beat us. We had them on the ropes. But what other questions? Because I just start talking, I forget we're even doing this Q&A thing. So what else we got?
I mean, that was there's discussion about what are the main challenges of growing the West Point Wrestling Club. I don't know if we want to dive into that. I feel like we could talk about that for like an hour.
I'll give you probably
longer.
Briefly go into priorities.
Oh, I could. No, I could. And what was your second point there? What you just said?
I said, like, briefly go into the priorities, you know.
Okay. So challenges. Let me just talk about something that I'm really proud of, is that this year, I think every member of our current wrestling team gave at least $5 on Giving Day. And that didn't go to the club, but that went to the athletic department. But the challenge is keeping you, B-Row, keeping you, Logan, keeping all of your classmates involved. That's the challenge, is because West Point's a place where the same day you graduate, you peace out, you're gone. And so it's hard to keep young old grads involved. That's a challenge with growing our club and our donor base. So we're proud this year to have like 100% for involvement and participation on current wrestlers giving on Giving Day. That's progress. So instead of talking about challenges, talk about things that we're proud of. We have about half of our parents give, about 50% parents gave on Giving Day. That's something that we can do a better job of, because we have great parents, you know, but I got to do a better job at communicating why these things are important. And refining things, you know, because sometimes it can seem like every time I talk to somebody, I'm just asking them to give us a little bit more money, you know. And so we got to do a better job at our messaging and the why and how and when, you know, things are important. So priorities, you know, remain the same for us. I look at things as like an immediate need, like right now, mid, and then long-term needs. And immediate needs is always get the club, make the club whole. You know, you got to hit budget for the year with the West Point Wrestling Club. Without it, you can't compete. You just can't. You can't have a successful Division I program with no club or RTC. So you got to make it whole. You got a budget, a couple $100,000, whatever it is, you got to raise it. You got to have it. Midterm goals is like, you know, let's enhance our facilities. You know, let's polish things up. Let's have some upgrades that are going to last 5 to 10 years and give us an opportunity to train better in a better spot and feel a little bit more pride in where we're at. long-term thinking and long-term goals is let's continue to grow the endowment because it gives back to the program perpetuity. You know, it never goes away, you know? So, but those are things, you know, that most listeners probably aren't that interested in, but as a head coach, you're thinking about those three things every single day and how you can get closer, you know, to reaching those goals. So, yeah, but I think, look, if we're talking about what to be proud of, the club is growing. We're getting more people in it. And we just had an outstanding wrestler at the Senior National Championships. So that's a lot of progress and a lot of success. And Vel should be really freaking proud for what she did for the West Point Wrestling Club and proud of herself. So I'm proud of what we're doing and hope to continue to grow.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's a good place to wrap it up. We've been going for almost an hour now.
Dude, well, it's been so long. Yeah, we're trying to get all this stuff. We're going to talk about, we got to talk about football. We got to talk about babies. We got to talk about Christmas coming up. We got to talk about B-Row's got a big day coming up. Let's go, B-Row. There's a lot going on in their lives, man.
B-Row's on Christmas party number 5 tomorrow night. You know, they're just piling them up.
Hey, let me tell you what. Okay, so the West Point Wrestling Club, we also just took our first youth wrestlers to tournaments over this past month. So we got this youth club growing now. Youth kids are competing. It's awesome. All kinds of good stuff going on. And Christmas is right around the corner. So, man, there's just so much positive things to talk about. So, sorry, B-Row. We went for an hour and probably lost. We're probably down to about 8 listeners now that suffered through this whole thing.
No way. They listen to beginning to end. We can pull the stats on like when listeners drop off.
Yeah.
They never drop off. They want more.
It's just like the most replayed bar on YouTube over and over. Yeah. Well, listen, man, thank you two very much. I know you're both really busy with an upcoming wedding and brand new baby on the ground and exciting times, and hope you both have a really Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and hope all of our listeners do as well. Thanks for all you've done to make 2023 great, and look forward to a great 2024.
Yeah.
Yeah, same to you, Coach.
Couldn't have said it better. Thanks again to all the listeners. Be Hall.
Be Hall.
Be Hall.
Thanks for tuning in to the Be Hall Radio Show. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating on your favorite podcast platform. If there's something you'd like to hear on a future show, reach out to us on any of our social media, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Or you can reach us at email, behaw.radio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts, and as always, go Army, be Navy.